in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than you've seen it, he will do because I go to the Father. In other words, after that cross, I go to the cross, I rise from the dead, bringing forth, rising in power and glory. I'm going to send forth the Holy Spirit. Go to the Father, send the Holy Spirit, and he will be in you. And through you, I will be doing that work of raising people from the dead and gathering them in and sanctifying them. It's amazing. I just want to encourage us again, you know, that wasn't just for the apostles. It's not just for the ministers, the professional missionaries. But he says, the one believing in me will be my instrument. I will work through you. So what's one of the ways that Christ works through his people? Through invitation, as we were looking at yesterday, last Sunday. Amazing. One of probably the greatest evangelistic movement in Jesus' earthly ministry happened in Samaria over the course of 3 days because through an invitation. The woman has an encounter with Jesus, who's a brand new believer, right? Doesn't have all theology worked out. She hasn't trained in apologetics, but she encounters Christ in a way that transforms her, just as we were talking about, right? The Spirit, right? And she experiences saving faith and a change, the forgiveness of Christ. And then she runs out and just makes an invitation. Brand new Christian woman. And it starts the biggest evangelistic movement of God, of Jesus' earthly ministry. And that invitation, those words, come and see. That was the key word we talked about last week. The invitation we're talking about here is an invitation to come and see. And so what does it mean to invite someone to come and see? What are we inviting them to come and see? And we said, who? We're inviting people to come and to see Jesus. Right? Come, see. Now, she says, come see a man. He's over at the well. I'm going back to the well where I just met this man. You got to come and see him. So for her, to come and see Jesus meant inviting her neighbors to come to the well and talk to Jesus and hear him. Now, but today, what does it mean to come practically? How would we invite someone to come and see? And I just want to review these two with us, so we kind of we're thinking in our minds. But we talked about them last Sunday. Come and see. How practically do you invite someone to come and see?
You invite
them
to church.
You invite them to church, right? Invite him on the Lord's Day. Hey, come to church. How are they going to, how will they see, so how people see Christ? Or how do they come and see Christ in a worship service? What's that?
Your own testimony.
Okay, well, I mean, so when she meant, okay, you invite someone to church. How is that inviting someone to come and see? I guess that's what I mean.
When you explain what you experienced, because she was explaining to other people what she experienced about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then, so that, since we don't have physical Jesus, we can bring people to, I think it's a lot of just personal experience.
Yeah, so that's a really important point there. When she invites, she's inviting because she's experienced something. And she says, you know, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. And of course, she's got a reputation in the town, so people know what she did. And she's like, this guy, this Jewish man who's not from this area came in and he told me my past. And she said, could this be the Messiah? And what's amazing is not just the fact that he knew everything about her, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. You're a holy man, right? Someone come, you know, to speak for God. But he didn't reject her, but he invited her in. Come to drink from the water that he would give, eternal life. So it's an experience, and we talked last week about, you know, the difference between being a witness and an advocate. An advocate kind of argues for, hey, this is a good thing, you know, it kind of argues for, a system, a religious system or a theology or something.
And so if someone is coming in, they're drawn to that. In sales, we often say, what's in it for me? That's what people want to know. Mm-hmm. What did she want to know? What was in it for her? And the truth and his acceptance. And when people come and see the love that your body of believers has one for another, whether we're giving meals to the sick, we're praying over the sick, we're visiting them, we're helping somebody clean their garage, whatever that is, as we're showing that love of Christ, that witness, which is the love of Christ, not the thing of the garage, but the witness of the love of Christ is what we're drawing. Mm-hmm. That's how we invite people to come see that kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's not out there in most other areas, but mm-hmm. it is here at this
place, and
they see that love of God.
Yeah, exactly. That brings us to the other, another sort of invitation that I want to make in a moment. Come and see a man who told me, your invitation, when you share, you know, your own experience with Christ, you know, again, you're not just an advocate of a Christian worldview, but you're a witness of Christ and his power and your own, his transformation in your life. And yeah, come see for yourself. But when you come to church, you're seeing the people worshiping, you're seeing them loving one another as the Spirit is in them and just living as a body, as a family. You experience Christ in them, the Spirit, in their kindness, their love towards you, their welcome, and you're hearing the word preached, right? So you're invite. That's one way you invite people to come, to come and see. I'm trying to make it practical too. I'm trying to make it very nuts and bolts and kind of tangible. We're sitting through this class. What might it actually look like? So it's just inviting someone to come, inviting them to Sunday worship here at New Hope. That's one of the ways that you would invite someone to come and see. How else? Because again, to come and see Jesus, well, where do people encounter Jesus? So in the worship, Lord's Day worship, but where else? And this was a little bit on what you were saying. But Sandy. Okay.
Invite them to read the Bible, the Gospel of John. And I have to say, I've actually done that. I went to the Bible reading class. It was so good. I'm really curious. I sent them the Bible reading class. We went together, asking questions.
Is this the Roman Catholic woman?
Or?
No, she, okay.
Here. Head knowledge, maybe not heart knowledge.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not in a position to judge
her. Okay,
but
yeah.
She is hungering for God and studying his word.
Okay. That's exactly right. So inviting people to read the Bible, because how are they being invited to come and see Jesus there? Jesus makes himself known through his word. Right? He speaks through his word. And maybe you can think about, you know, again, if you were older when you came to faith, even if, you know, a teenager, think about when you first like heard the word or read the word, and it was like you were hearing God speaking to you, And you know, I've shared a little bit about, you know, before I grew up in the church and my dad was a pastor. So, you know, there was never a time I didn't believe in Jesus, but I think I experienced the, just the converting work of the Spirit as in my young teens. And I remember, you know, one of the things I remember was reading the Bible, and all of a sudden it was like coming to life. And I started experiencing a hunger because it was like God was speaking to me. And I was getting to know this real person of Jesus as I was reading through. That's the Spirit working. But what does he do? He speaks through his word. And the Gospel of John is a great way, a great thing, especially for a Christian maybe who doesn't have, or someone who doesn't have much of a background in the church. A full Bible can be pretty intimidating. Even someone who's maybe an agnostic or something, you know, or not sure, just to give them a Gospel of John. And I've done this many times and just invited people, hey, this will only take you, it could take you 2 hours. You can read this in 2 hours. And I've ordered little Gospels of John that we're going to be putting out here that you can take if you have someone at work or someone, a neighbor, someone, or even if you take one, just keep it in your car for, you know, occasion that you can hand out to somebody. Hey, if you'd be interested, I'd be willing to give this to you to read. And you can just, you know, see for yourself. Don't take my word for it. See for yourself. And John is just, it's so much of Jesus speaking, right? And it's the deepest of the Gospels in some ways, but it's also the simplest in other ways, you know. So the Gospel of John, that's a great way. Just invite someone to come and see. I mentioned that guy, Josh Hilton in Maryland, who I met. He was walking in, tying up his dog, walking in the grocery store. I was walking out. And the one that bonded my T-shirt, my Christian T-shirt. But after we started talking for an hour, oh, you're Christian, you know. Yeah, dude, what's up with your shirt? Yeah. I was like, oh, you like it? No, not really. So, oh, Christian, yeah. So he was, you know, grew up Roman Catholic, was an atheist now, around 40. I could tell he'd probably been drinking at some point. I mean, he wasn't drunk or anything, but I could tell, you know. And he talked about he's working at this, like, really expensive restaurant in downtown D.C., but just how terrible people are, and he's feeling depressed about the world. And we got in this long conversation about, well, why is our culture going down the tubes? Well, the media and the education system. And it's like, yeah, well, the Greeks have tried, you know, creating the perfect education system. That never worked out, right? And the media, they're just made up of people. And why do people listen to them in the first place? I said, you know what, the real problem in the world is the human heart. We're all born with a heart that's corrupt. And I said, and that's why the Lion of Judah, which is what my T-shirt said, had to come. And that's why you and I need the Lion of Judah, Jesus. And we started, you know, talking about the gospel. And anyway, at the end of that hour conversation, he said, I really appreciate, you know, that we could have this respectful conversation. Although you're clearly passionate about what you believe, and you, and even though we are on very different, you know, coming from very different viewpoints, I appreciate that we could have a respectful conversation. And I said, well, yeah, that's because you're not born, you didn't descend from a monkey or primate. You're made in the image of God. And then I thought, you know, how can I seize this moment? You know, well, it was the Lord just guide me. It really is the Lord. I said, if you'd be interested in just meeting together, read the Gospel of John, I'd love to. I'll just throw this out there. He said, yeah, I'd do that. Yeah, I'd be down for that. Now, and he said, now, I'm not going to hold back on what I think. You know, I said, no, we'll talk about it. You have questions? Let's talk about it. All right. And he said, I'm looking forward to reading and talking, even if we don't end up seeing eye to eye. And it's one of those things, it's not me. I hadn't thought this. And that's not my nature, but it was the Spirit just kind of brought these words out of my mind. I said, so you know what? You and I are never going to see eye to eye unless the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. But that's what I'm going to be praying for. And he kind of looked at me and kind of chuckled. He's like, oh, maybe there's hope for me after all. So we met the first time, so like the next day, and this is my last month. He ended up, I was finishing up a couple months heading back to New Jersey, and he ended up moving to Pennsylvania. But the first time we met, he sits down, he says, so, like, you know, this world is a pretty messed up place, I know, and if there's hope, you know, I want to know about, like, let me hear your message. What's your message? So we didn't even get, like, started reading John. I was just kind of like, engaging him, but at the end of our hour and a half, and we had to go, and so I said, but listen, you know, we didn't get to start here, but I want to encourage you, like, start reading John, and we'll talk about it. And a night or two later, he texts me at, like, midnight. He's like, I've been reading John, potent stuff, you know. So, and we had it maybe a couple more times, and then it's funny, he actually, you know, in our conversation, he said, you know, isn't it true, like, that the nicest people that I've encountered are Christians? That's got to say something. And then he said, you've got something. I don't know what it is. Or he said, you seem to have a, I don't know, it's like a peace or joy or something. I can't remember exactly the words he used. But he said, you know, that's why I'm listening to you, and I want what you have. You know, that's people experience. I said, what you're experiencing is, it's not me by nature. I can tell you about natural Chris Bird. But that's Jesus. That's his transformation. That's what he's come to do for people. So I share that as a... I lost touch with him, but then reconnected like a year or two ago. I emailed him, and he's been going to a church there in Western PA, or Central PA. But... the last time, yeah, message said something about, yeah, I'm seeing that, you know, Jesus is the answer to the world, or something like people need Jesus. But that invitation, come and see, let's read. And as he's reading the John, it's starting to speak to him. Okay, another, how else? Sandy, you've got the answers. But practically, invite people to pray. So I invite too. And I shared my friend John, who's now kind of like a lay evangelist up at Westfield, and is, you know, kind of, he kind of spearheads some of their outreach and is always encouraging the people in evangelism. He's got a heart, you know, from a Hispanic family, cultural Roman Catholic, but his parents were not really particularly religious, but on his dad's side, there's some Pentecostalism, but the dad just kind of like wanted nothing to do with it. Anyway, and he considered himself in late high school an atheist, just kind of, you know, is more of a, you know, he's, as he said, because he thought it was cool to be an atheist, you know. But then his mom got cancer, died, started kind of shaking him up, and then he had a friend, an older woman who worked in the mall where he was working, who would sit down with him and basically told him, it's like, hey, why don't you, know, you need to reach out to God. Just pray, start praying to him. You know, reach out to him. Okay. So he, like, started praying and just asking. Hey. And then he talks about just starting to seeing God everywhere, you know, and all these different circumstances. Whoa. Like, I think, is that God trying to get my attention? Anyway, just that invitation. Reach out to God. And that's one thing that I love to do when I hand out the Gospel of John. Hey, pray and say, God, if you're there, like, if you know, speak to me, because I want to know you. Open my eyes and my ears to hear you speak to me. I want to know you. So encourage people. Invite them to pray. All right, what else? Who remembers? Anybody? Yeah. Okay. You know, this was Lord's Day worship. I'll just say Lord's Day worship, which is really kind of this one here. Inviting them to invite to a fellowship, right? Gatherings, fellowship, right? Gatherings. So that could be Bible studies, could be a home, right? Small group, the game night, right? Fellowship gatherings, home. So yeah, so you're inviting them to see, what you're doing is you're inviting them to come and see Christ in his church, in both formal and informal settings. So this could be a formal game night, or you know, it could be a Bible study, or an event, planned event, but it could also be informal. Hey, you should come over and have a barbecue with some people. Now you're having people, your church family over, come over. And now what are they going to do? They're going to start seeing Christians loving one another and interacting with one another. And as, what was your name, brother?
Claudio.
Claudio?
No, John.
Oh, John, okay, yeah, sorry. Claudia. John. John was saying, I don't want this to dry out. Well, anyway, if somebody notices where the cap went. Oh, there it is. Sorry. Okay. When people see, experience Christ in his people, they're encountering Christ, and it's different from the world.
It's not the church that they don't believe in.
Right. And that is, and the more I think we are filled, and in my prayer I was mentioning this morning, the pastoral prayer, mentioning how in the early church, or I think in the early church, they would say, like, my, how this Christians, well, see, like, the way they love each other. It was arresting, because the world, the flesh, is all about self, right? You use people for yourself. People, you know, they tick you off, you cut them off. Someone hurts you, we're done. But the kind of love that is willing to be hurt in order to move towards another person and can forgive, that's something can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. The peace that people have, when you have a peace because you've been reconciled to God, you have a peace that overflows with knowing your forgiveness, knowing that all you have, the joy that transcends tragic circumstances, cannot be produced but by the Holy Spirit and by union and communion with Christ. And people see that. So getting people around the church, just being the church. People invite people to your home. Hospitality. You don't need to, and you don't have to plan something extravagant. Your house doesn't have to be like perfect in order. You just have to be having dinner. And just invite people into that and to see how you're. And it can be a great opportunity too, even just as you have like your family worship, people. So there's a guy, we were doing Christmas, did a Christmas caroling outreach up in Westfield. And I would go ahead of time, just knock on the doors, hey, we're just out here bringing Christmas cheer to the neighborhood. Want to be a blessing? Will you be around on Friday night? Would you like us to come sing a Christmas carol or two? Don't give us anything. We're just here to bless the neighborhood. Now, that would open doors for conversations, just meeting people, connecting, which opened other doors. But, yeah, so anyway, the one guy, he and his sixth grade son, they had just moved around the corner from where I was living. and been there for just for like a month or two. Anyway, they came to church like the next day or the next week, and I was like, oh, you know. And he said, yeah, they sang so nicely. I figured, oh, I got to check out the church. He was from a Roman Catholic background, so just that close Roman Catholic background. And then he was divorced. His wife had been a part of like a one of these kind of holiness Pentecostal, more legalistic Pentecostal churches where you're going to hell because you wear jeans, that kind of thing. So that just turned him off. So all these experiences kind of like turned him off. But he's like, yeah, no, but I believe in some kind of, I know there's got to be something out there, some higher power. This world didn't create itself. But, you know, who that is, I don't know, you know. But I've had these bad experiences with Christianity so far. Anyway, but yeah, so he was there. And so I invited him. I said, hey, why don't you come over for pizza? You and Jaden, his son. So, okay. So he came over, and I had two housemates in their 20s. And so, yeah, they came over. We just had pizza, you know, and chatted, got to know them more. And people who are not churched have impressions about Christians, what they're like, who they are. And so just by having them over and showing kindness, and they see, oh, wow, you start breaking down barriers and overcoming perceptions that keep people from even thinking about, you know, the gospel. But yeah, if you do that, have your normal routine. And I was saying, okay, normally with my housemates and I, when we have dinner, we would have some kind of like, you know, devotional. We'd read a passage from the scripture and just pray, sometimes sing. So I thought, okay, we're having them over. Let me just, where are we? And I'll actually kind of make a passage, maybe skip to a passage that kind of can speak to them a little more. So anyway, I said, hey, we're going to have, and I think it's the best way to do it is to say, hey, we're going to have dessert in like, you know, in another 10 minutes. But we usually do just have a time of family worship before we do. You're welcome to stay for it if you don't, you know, you don't want to. And so usually people are like, oh, I'm not going to miss dessert. That's part of it. Yeah, I'll stick around for it. So you're not pressuring people, you know, but it's just like, hey, we're going to have dessert before we do. If you'd like to stay here with us and, you know, stick around at the table for, you know, you're very welcome, you know. Okay. So then I got to open the Bible and then hit this, right, his name just flipped, skipped out, but his son, Jaden, sixth grade, he starts like, hey, pay attention, he's reading the Bible, you know, so I mean, he's like not even a Christian, but he's, and then I was the Deuteronomy 8, where God says, when you go into the land, you be careful that you don't say, look what our hands have done, when I do all these things, and you forget me, and you go after other idols, and the son started asking questions, because I mean, he's not he doesn't go to church. Like, his parents haven't taken him to church. And he's like, wait, so, like, who created God? Well, God didn't create. And it just, I'm asking really good questions. Like, wait, so if God, like, everything comes from God, he's the source of everything, he doesn't need anything, then why is he concerned about, why does he need people to worship him? So, wow, that's a great question. So we had this whole, like, discussion, which ended up, like kind of sharing the gospel. But it's in the context of, yeah, we're normal people having a meal. So anyway, invite, that's a great way to invite people to come and see. Hey, we're having a barbecue, come on over. You know, actually, I'm sorry, I should. That was actually the fifth one.
Yes.
Sandy, you should have spoken up. Like, Chris, you're off, yeah. So the fellowship, the formal gatherings, these are informal gatherings. So home, a Christian home, and hospitality. Even, you know, just seeing a family sitting down at a meal, people don't do that anymore. There's just no community. I read this article a couple months ago in the New York Times about, yeah, we stopped doing family dinners. It was this... someone who was not a believer, I think it was a lesbian couple, had kids, and but she was talking about how feeling like, yeah, you know, I felt this pressure, it's just American Western pressure that you have to make dinner and have this, and I realized, why am I pressuring myself? It's so stressful. It's just like, people, they grab their dinner whenever they want, and then they said, our family time is now watching Netflix. So, but that, again, that's the world, but if they don't have an experience, that community, the communion of people, Now, it's easy to look and say, oh, that's awful, this secularist, you know, this is what they do. Yeah, see, this is what I mean. But really, you know, these people are lost. And this is the opportunity that we have as a Christian to shine as lights, invite them into what a family who loves each other actually. And even, yeah, your kids are squirmy and a little, but even the fact, the way you handle them, you know, that you want them to be at the table and that you're not just like, you know, flipping out at them and, you know, blowing your stack. It can show just as Christ is sanctifying you and your children, they see that. Something different. And there's like an aroma, and the Spirit can use that. Let me just put... fellowship, okay. This was the fellowship gatherings. This is, yeah, formal and informal. This is just church, where church are coming together, and your brothers and sisters. And it's great, because it's not all the pressure on you to, like, I need to somehow have this great conversation or presenting the gospel. You're just... the church is being the church, or loving each other, and then people who have too also have more, maybe the hospitality gifts are really shining, the people who have the speaking gifts are kind of shining, the people, you know, just you see the gifts of the body working together. So that's informal, but a formal would be more like Bible studies or small groups. There's a guy who I know there's a couple guys at Westfield. One guy, Jerry O'Malley, Irish Roman Catholic. How'd you come to faith? Well, I had this worker, right? Had a worker, you know, or Joe Gentes and another Italian guy, I'm blanking on his name, worked at my building, AT&T, and they had a Bible study, and they invited me to it. I was like, well, you know, I'm a Roman Catholic, you know, so I'm not opposed to the Bible. Sure, I'll come. And as he starts reading now this Bible study, he's like, wow, I never knew any of this. Wait, this is not what we learned like in the church. Wait, where's Mary? Huh, interesting. And now he starts reading more. His eyes are open. He meets Jesus. And now he's a Christian. He's a deacon at the OPC up in Westfield. It was just inviting him to a Bible study. I was last spring when I was at Providence doing the 3-month residence at Providence. I lived next door in the manse there because multi apartment. Zach Herbster is the pastor there. His wife Julia, and they had a 2-year-old Mabel. Julia's mom would come over to watch Mabel. So Julia, because Julia was doing some counseling work once a week, so every week her mom would come over and babysit. And so when I had lunch, I'd go down there and we'd chat. And I was talking with her one day, and I was like, so how did you come to... She's like, yeah, I didn't grow up in a Christian home or anything. How did you come to faith? I said, well, you know, I was in college, and something was like in me was starting to kind of stir. I started having questions just about God and about life, the meaning of life, and these things. But they're just kind of internal thoughts. And then I had this... there was a friend... it's funny. She said, she got this. This friend came to her one day, kind of like they're talking, and then the friend invited her to a Bible study. But she said she could tell the friend was like nervous, and kind of wondered if maybe, you know, they were like encouraged, like they were all told to invite somebody, and she like, so it was like, okay, someone invite, but she's probably not gonna. She's gonna think I'm weird, and she's gonna say no. And so she was just kind of like very like, well, you know. Very kind of tentatively, and like, oh, you know, probably not, but if you want to, just to let you know, it's, you know, would you like to come to a Bible study? And Julia's mom told me, she just said, yes, I would love to come. Like, I've been wanting to, you know, I want to know. Anyway, just inviting her to come and see. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this this time, and Lord, I ask that you would bless us, Lord, and that you would use us as your instruments, as your mouthpieces of invitation to come and see Christ, and that people would see Christ in us. Oh, Lord, purify our hearts from our idols, our sins, our misordered priorities, the things that Lord, that grieve the spirit, that inhibit our joy. And we pray that we would walk in him and experience the power of his resurrection in us. Lord, let it be on display. Let your grace be working through us. We thank you for Tony, his family, and the other guests who came, William and Jimmy. Lord, we pray that you would minister to them by your spirit, Lord, even as they think over what they heard and saw today, and continue to gather in your sheep, even here at New Hope, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.